On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm so excited to talk to you here today from KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area. You might be listening in this area, or perhaps you're listening on the East Coast on AM 1230 WBLQ in Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network through your television sets. Or somewhere on the many stations in Australia or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're joining us from today, you are going to be glad you did. And of course, you can also check out the archives. You might be listening on iTunes, TransformationTalkRadio.com, or perhaps ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever you're listening from today, it's important for you to join us because we are going to be having a fascinating conversation. I can feel it in my bones. But before we get into that, and who our guest is today, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
Hey, Christine. So do we really still call them television sets?
Oh, sorry.
No. I'm like,
well, I actually still do that.
No, I really do.
And as I said, I'm thinking of these flat panels, you know,
yeah,
that
like,
hang on
it's
walls.
It's more like screens. Like, yeah. What kind of screen do you have?
But, it's got all the electronic guts, so to speak, inside of it,
true.
One way or another.
Minus
so.
The rabbit ears.
That's true.
Although I did hook up my Atari for my boys a couple weeks ago, and they were floored, you know, obviously with, you know, the games. We don't show much games, you know.
Right.
We're kind of keeping away from the technology at the moment. But, of course, I tried to play it when they were asleep. I'm like, 2 minutes into it, I'm like, this is boring. But yet it grabbed my attention when I was a kid for so many hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
And about that and what we have to do with today.
Yeah. And it's funny because I heard a definition of technology once is technology is everything that's been developed since you're born.
Mm-hmm.
So like for my mother's generation, refrigerators.
Right.
And deep freezes were a type of technology, you know.
Before that, horse carriage.
This is
the car.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That's even further. Hey, we're just making, you know, that's also small talk. In fact, but for me, I think it would have to be, I'm going to have to go with like tapes and CDs. I think that was the real big for me growing up from the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, because like music was really starting to come on the scene. And I know, I remember everyone had 8-tracks and tapes, and then CDs clicked, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is digital stuff. It's crystal clear. But they're like, well, what do we do with our tapes? You know, it's like, you can't use them anymore.
Right. And I remember having a stereo cabinet that held record albums.
Oh, yeah.
And when CDs came out, it's like, wow, this technology is great because it sounds so good, but where do I store them?
And I have so much space for them now. I can take all the records.
Yeah.
So anyways, enough about that.
Yeah.
This is fun.
You know, Benny, I don't know if you remember, but a couple months ago, I was on the Dr. Pat show, and I was talking about the top 10 spiritual myths.
Yes.
And, you know, for some reason lately, I've been feeling like we've been leading people down the wrong path in terms of spirituality. And I think that certain fallacies. And when my associate producer, Peggy Snow, led me to our guest today, Taya Skye, I thought, this woman speaks my language. And she's really young, you know, as spiritual leaders go. So I'm very excited about our conversation today. She goes by Skye, but her full name is Taya Skye, and she is a spiritual teacher. She's a healing facilitator. She offers retreats and workshops internationally. And she's the author of a very beautiful book called A Ceremony Called Life, When Your Morning Coffee is as Sacred as Holy Water. And I just want to read just a little bit of her introduction because it gives you a flavor of where she's coming from. It also gives you a taste of how beautifully she writes. To help us drop into a new understanding and embodiment of our divine nature, we will begin by taking a closer look at what it means to be spiritual what it means to tap into our unconditional spiritual nature. In that discussion, we'll take spirituality off its pedestal and put it onto the seat beside us, where it can giggle with us at the madness and the glory of this life. From there, we'll dive a bit deeper into demystifying the old ideas, concepts, and obstacles that tend to keep us from feeling separate from our true nature and the divine. I would like to welcome our guest today, Taya Sky. Hi, Sky. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Hey, thank you so much for such a beautiful introduction. Hello, Christine. Hello, Ben.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, we're so grateful to have you here today. And I have to tell you, I'm loving your book. You not only are very insightful, but you have a knack of bringing these spiritual concepts into these concrete, not only easy to understand, but it sort of helps us sort of have a different kind of relationship with the words and therefore have a different relationship with the concepts to apply to our spiritual nature. So it's great. I'm so grateful you're here today. And I'm fascinated by the fact that you were a musician, a successful musician at that. Can you share with our listeners how and why you shifted from this trajectory of following your dream to picking a different dream?
Yeah, I would love to. And so the story goes like this. I was actually a music manager in, of course, the music industry in Los Angeles. And this had been my dream for as long as I could remember, since I was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
And following it and living it out in L.A. was like just a total dream come true.
So tell us what a music manager does.
A music manager is in direct contact with the musician that he or she manages and is in charge of overseeing their entire career, from the records and the record production to touring and marketing and promotion.
Uh-huh.
They oversee the entire team to make sure everything is just going accordingly in the best way possible for the musician.
Right.
So it's a very big job. There's a lot on a manager's plate. And I loved it, and I was thrilling, and I was super young when I was doing it. It was just a total fantasy that had come true. But what happened was, after some years of already being there, the luster started to wear off.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to see that not only was this job keeping me trapped in an office, which for me just wasn't right. For some people, this is totally perfect. But uh-huh. At this point in my life, it wasn't right anymore. And this happened at the same time that in my personal life, I started to realize that my past was dominating my present moment through my patterns and my behavior and my reaction.
Say that again, because that seems so important. Your path was dominating what?
My present moment.
Your path was dominating your present moment.
Yes, through my behavior and my reactions and the way I handled situations in my life. And it started to just feel so gnarly inside that I knew it couldn't be right. I knew that couldn't be the way I was meant to feel and live my life.
Right.
And so, yes, that's when I took that big shift and left the music industry in pursuit of nothing, really, into a total free fall of just, for me, it was going to Costa Rica and spending a lot of time at a commune there and going into meditation and different workshops of really a path of deconditioning and finding out who I was without this idea of myself as being this manager in a cool industry and smart and, with the musicians and who I was without the pain of my past. And so that's what really was responsible for that big shift in my path.
And so I love this concept of deconditioning. I know this is a concept that you talk about in your book in a variety of ways. Why is it an important part of our spiritual journey?
It is, yes. Deconditioning is just so important. And first, let's just take a moment to talk about what it is, and what it is...
The conditioning, you mean?
Deconditioning.
Oh, deconditioning, okay.
Yeah. Well, deconditioning is the process of moving through the layers of conditioning that have imprinted us and affected our minds and our emotional systems and our beings entirely. and getting to the truth of who we are underneath that. And of course, our conditioning has to do with our patterns and our childhood and societal beliefs that we have within ourselves as well. It's a whole spectrum of things, right?
Right.
And so deconditioning is so important because who we are naked underneath all of that, that's the real us. That's where the purity of our expression is and the purity of our heart and really also just the simplicity of being.
Mm. Right. And we focus so much on doing in our lives, particularly in Western culture.
Oh, my God. Completely. It is like it is total madness. And at the same time, it's the world we're living in right now. Uh-huh. So it's also okay. But really in just waking up to the fact that we are not human doings. We are human beings, mm-hmm. as we've heard before. And just really looking at the ways in which we've been going a bit too fast for what's really healthy for our system within mm-hmm. ourselves.
Right.
This in and of itself is an important and big realization, getting us to just slow down and even just nurture ourselves in the small and large ways that we can.
So, you know, one of my pet peeves about some of the teachings and the belief systems out there about spirituality is it's something to become compartmentalized, that it's you know, our spirituality is about the meditation. It's about those, you know, going to church or doing spiritual retreats or, you know, interacting with a guru or going into some sort of, you know, group retreat. You've got a different perspective on spirituality. How do you view our spirituality?
So, for me, I view our spirituality as this invitation to deepen our sense of presence within ourselves throughout all of our lives, throughout all areas. And what I think we see a lot of, especially in our culture now, when spirituality has become a bit trendy, mm-hmm. is that spirituality is often looked at as a part of our lives rather than all of life itself.
Yeah.
And so, yes, of course, to follow our energy where it takes us in terms of yoga classes and if we feel to sit with a teacher or go to church, whatever is calling our hearts and our souls is beautiful and perfect. But to me, the point of it all is to then bring that same presence that we can call ceremonial into our everyday life.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's at, right? It's just in discovering that actually it's all of life is this spiritual practice.
Right. And I know you've got so much more to say about that. In fact, an entire book. And we've got lots more conversation here. But we need to go to a quick break. More with Taya Sky here in a few moments.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health. From facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com. Or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon. 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
It's like... Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the author of A Ceremony Called Life, Taya Skye. Now, Skye, you know, you were just, before the break, you were just talking about how we should take that approach that we have to, you know, to meditating, to, you know, spiritual retreats, to interacting with a teacher, going to church, all those things, and apply them to our normal daily life. Can you sort of expand upon that, please?
Yes. This is just such a precious and important consideration. And actually, I like to look at it as an orientation.
Uh-huh.
And so what it is when we're in ceremony or when we are in what we consider to be these sacred moments, whether it's in church or yoga class or an actual ceremony of sorts, we are totally present and we're more vulnerable and willing to be touched and willing to see what is before us. It's almost like a little phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And really that phenomenon is just the fullness of our presence. And so when we start to realize that actually all of life is this opportunity, mm-hmm. is this beautiful, miraculous experience, we can be inspired again to bring that presence back into our daily life. And what that can look like the subtitle of the book is called, it goes, When Your Morning Coffee is as Sacred as Holy Water.
Uh-huh.
And it can be that simple of anchoring our presence within our bodies through these simple moments of life, like drinking our morning coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And to elaborate on that a little bit, we could be drinking our coffee while we're yelling at our kids and thinking about a million things that we need to do that day.
Sure.
Right? Which many of us do, and of course we have moments of, and that's all good. Or we could give ourselves the gift of just taking even one or two sips by closing our eyes and really feeling the coffee in our mouth, feeling the taste, feeling it drop down through our throat. And just having our attention inward like that. And when we give this to ourselves, what we're essentially doing is anchoring our presence in our bodies. And we start to bring that essence of meditation into our lives, and we discover that it serves us in just so many ways.
Right. So, you know, you use the V word, vulnerability. Okay. What does vulnerability have to do with being fully present?
You know, so much. And this word is just so huge for me. And it's really, I like to call it the undercurrent of the book.
Uh-huh.
Vulnerability. Well, it's almost like a cousin, you could say, of presence. Because when we're being fully present with ourselves, I would like to say, or like to see it as, we're also being really honest, hopefully, about ourselves and right. what's happening in life. And if we're being really honest, then we can see that we are such vulnerable beings. Every single one of us, from the most obstinate CEO to a child, we are all vulnerable. We are sensitive to everything from what we eat can affect our mind, of course, and our physical being, to a conversation, to even the weather sometimes.
Right.
We're just so vulnerable. And so what's so empowering about acknowledging and realizing this vulnerability is that then we're in a space to actually accept it. And from there, when we accept our vulnerability, when we're present with it, we can work such great magic of with life by seeing our reflection through that which is before us.
Uh-huh.
And just to break that down into a bit more practical language, what I mean by that is that if we acknowledge and realize, you know what, I'm really vulnerable, and that means I'm pretty much responsible for the way that I see things and experience things in this life. If we're in that space, then all of a sudden, when we're having an argument with our beloved or really upset about a particular conversation that happens with somebody, rather than pointing our finger at them or blaming them or just going to some huge upheaval and reaction, perhaps we'll be inspired to instead sit down with ourselves and ask ourselves, what does this show me about myself?
Mm-hmm.
What is within me in my perception of this moment that can lead me back to wholeness and maybe even be resolved?
So can you sort of expand upon this example? Let's say that you know, person's had an argument with their mate, and instead of, you know, being in that place of pointing the finger and they did that and the blame and shame game, we step into our vulnerability. What sort of thing can unfold within that kind of situation?
Yes, when we start to step into our accountability and our vulnerability in these moments, such as having an argument with our beloved, what happens is that when we see that we're being really, really triggered, like everything inside of us just feels so challenging or intense, and the outside world and the situation with our partner just seems so crazy and insane, when we're triggered like this in this vulnerability, then we take a moment by ourselves when this eruption is happening to just go through our catharsis without needing an explanation or understanding of exactly what we're feeling in that moment, but just to be with ourselves in that vulnerability and hold ourselves as if we would a child with that sort of embrace. And what happens is that as we go through this vulnerability, once we've gone through it, we arrive at meaning. And so after one of these catharses that we can have from these different life moments or these arguments with our loved ones even, we are often purging deep emotion, memories, wounds, traumas that have been trapped inside of us in large and small ways as well.
Right.
And each time we're releasing this through, even if it's just one good cry, we're clearing out debris that's within us, and there's more room to anchor in presence, and from there, and this is the kicker, to express our needs in a really loving and good way to those around us, and to empower ourselves to continue to create life as we really mean to, rather than from a reactionary space.
Right, and it's almost like with this sense of vulnerability and sort of looking within that we are, this is going to sound strange, but we are seeing ourselves fully. And there's an aspect of those situations where, you know, when we're battling with somebody, where we're feeling like we're not being seen or heard. And so it seems so beautiful if we can present that to ourselves, that presence, that awareness, that acceptance, that too helps move things through.
Exactly. Sometimes we're really not being heard in the moment, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the other person isn't in the space to hear us.
Right.
And this is just the way it goes, in particular with relationships. And when we step into the maturity responsibility for our own lives and what we're creating, and also, to word it in my favorite way, realizing life for the ceremony it is, then we're just continuously, again and again, reorienting and returning to that place within us that creates goodness with our lives, that creates goodness with the ingredients that are before us, because they're never here to hurt us, no matter how hard it can feel sometimes.
Yeah, and it can feel really hard in the world these days because there are some horrific things that are going on. How do we bring this kind of sense, this the vulnerability, the presence, the fullness, the ceremony to some of the pain that's getting reflected back to us from the events in the world?
Yes, you know, this is such a big one and also such a challenging one. And even for myself, it's still a journey in how to interact with the reality of things and in a good and also honest way.
Right.
One that's looking at what's happening at face value, right? Because there's that spiritual, quote-unquote, you could say, tendency to just go into, oh, it's just, you know, just project peace or just, you know, feel love. But it's a journey, and I can only tell you from my own experience that when I'm learning about these events that are happening that are so painful, very importantly, there's a recognition of where it's coming from within these other people who are engaged in such situations, and to really acknowledge that this sort of trauma is coming from a place of really being out of touch with the truth of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only place it can come from.
Right.
And what that just shows me over and over again is how important it is that we stay in touch with the truth within ourselves, and not as some sort of oversimplified, like, oh, well, I'll just, you know, do what I, you know, I'll just focus on myself, like, because as an excuse, not from that place, but from a place of acknowledging we can't just change somebody else's experience and journey. If somebody is out of touch with themselves and coming from that place of fear that causes all these violent acts that we see around the world, we can't just go up to them with a magic wand and be like, you should be different and, you know, bing, now you're better. That's just not the way it works. But what we can do is continue to work on ourselves and show up in life with our light and our love, and sometimes pray for these situations, or if you're inspired to participate in activism, whatever is moving us to share our love in a good way, and to not silence ourselves.
Yeah. We have to go to another quick break, but more with Taya Sky here in a few moments.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Taya Sky is talking about her book, A Ceremony Called Life, When Your Morning Coffee is as Sacred as Holy Water. Now, Sky, you know, on the break, we were talking about something that I think many of our listeners might be interested in, because there's a... We've got a lot of listeners who either work in the healing realm or, you know, are helping others to transform their lives. They're sort of the what I call the cutting edge of the new mainstream who are open to all sorts of new realities and are here to support others. And for some of us, we've been having a harder time lately kind of setting up those energetic boundaries. So when there's things going on in the world or there's energetic shifting underway, many of my colleagues and I and friends, too, have been feeling it more deeply. Do you have any suggestions for those of us who are kind of open to the not only the, you know, clearly getting information from the media if we pay any attention to the news, but there's the underlying energetic shifting when it feels uncomfortable. How do we process that?
This is a huge thing. And I want to start by saying that it's sort of like this. It's like when you see a child that's stranded and alone and crying. If you just saw this little baby on the side of the street like this, what would you do? Would you walk away because it's its own journey and its own story, or would you run over to that child and pick it up and look to help it?
Oh, obviously the second, yes.
Right. And that's what often is happening for many of us who are so sensitive and who are working by offering healing work and different things like this. We feel the pain of the collective. We feel what's going on with the wounded souls who act so out of connection. Uh-huh. And there is that impulse to connect and to help process and to support. And it comes from a really pure place because it's coming from this place of love and knowing that, you know what, I've got something to offer here. Right. I can digest this better than you, so let me just do it for you. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there are so many individual perspectives in this life, and none of them are wrong. Even these crazy things that we hear about that are going on. Mm-hmm. People acting out of connection, it's not wrong. Somehow, mysteriously, this is their journey. And just to be clear, because it's a big thing to say that it's not wrong, I'm not saying that it's right, and I'm not saying that it's the way it should be or we want it to be or anything like that. I'm simply saying that in real humbleness to the mystery of existence, somehow it's just simply not wrong.
Mm-hmm. And if we think of it sort of as Earth as this place of learning and expansion, then even some of the horrible things, both from the perpetrator's perspective as well as from the perspective of the victims. There's learning that unfolds from these events within them as individual souls and with us collectively.
Exactly. And so when we just take a step back and acknowledge that these souls are having their own journey, and that somehow, even though it seems that they're so out of connection, and in this human body, in many ways, they are acting out of connection with God.
Uh-huh.
They can never actually be out of connection with God. And that their journey is happening as it's happening. And it's not necessarily for us to come in and save the day.
Right.
And I mean that in a subtle sense.
And yet there's an aspect of being spiritually present, being spiritually aware, being vulnerable with where we're at, that when we feel these things, it speaks to our own kind of pain about the disconnection that's there, both outside of us and within us. It speaks to our desire for things to be different, and that can create a really sort of engulfing kind of pain.
Completely. You know, because this pain of separation, that this is the original wound that spirituality, when we become spiritually inspired, that we're resolving, that we're reorienting towards, is this wound of separation, of falling out of heaven or out of God or whatever your perspective is,
uh-huh.
out of oneness and coming into this dualistic experience. We all have that inside of us. And when it's reflected back on a large scale, it can just be completely engulfing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what can we do? You know, what can we do? It really depends on the individual because we are all different. But some of the things that I have found that have been really helpful for me in this realm have to do with shifting aspects in my subconscious, shifting beliefs. And along the way, the more I've done work on my subconscious around the beliefs that are in there, beliefs like we've just mentioned, like uh-huh. I have to help or I have to save the day or, you know, all of these beliefs that actually seem like kind of crazy in the sense that we would ever think that it's up to us to
right.
save the world.
Right.
But somehow the subconscious, I see again and again with many different people, this is resonating.
Mm-hmm.
We want to come in and save the day.
Yeah.
And so when we start to look at what's underneath the surface within ourselves and say, you know what, I'm going to shift that. I can still totally be inspired and able to help without feeling like it's my responsibility and obligation.
Right. And I also think from an energetic perspective, if we can sort of detach from it and work on our own stuff, then on a vibrational level, we are affecting the world in a more positive way anyway. So if we really do care about shifting the reality, it needs to start within.
Totally, because there needs to be a harem, and I'm just using that word kind of poetic.
Like that. Benny just gave me a thumbs up over there.
Oh, I like it.
But there needs to be a harem of people that is projecting this vision of heaven on
uh-huh,
Earth.
Right.
Otherwise, how the F is it going to happen? I don't
yeah.
know if I can curse on your show, so.
Well, we've got the FCC, you know, monitoring us, so there's certain curse words, but definitely not the F word.
Yeah, but do you see what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah,
we should work on our individual beliefs and things like that so that we can function better within the experience, but then for sure to be projecting this vision by our own embodiment of it
uh-huh.
and our compassion towards ourselves and others, when we can't embody it because it's just too hard for a moment, this is how it's unfolding.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, this is the miracle of life.
And it's, in some sense, these events, I think, illuminate for us our vulnerability, not just our sort of physical vulnerability while we're in human form, you know, the risks and things like that, you know, but our vulnerability when we actually care.
Yeah. And I'm smiling over here, just like this soft smile, because,
yeah,
we care. Of course we care.
Yeah.
We're connected. We're all family. We feel it. No matter how, like, spiritual cheesy that could sound, that everyone's my brother and sister, it's true. We are all connected. And we can deny that as much as we want, but when we start to be honest about it and we can start to deal with it a bit more sweetly.
Yes. And it goes beyond these events that are affecting humans. It also, you know, when we sort of tap into that vulnerability of truly caring, then when we hear about animal abuses or animals not getting adopted from shelters, or, you know, driving past an area where these beautiful old growth trees have been cut down to make way for homes, it affects us on a deep level.
It really does. It really does. It's deeply, deeply affecting, you know, and I can only say that I really hope and believe and am committed to the vision that things are unfolding, are moving in the direction of unfolding in a new, good way, and that we're on our way to some sort of rebirth. And I know that our commitment to this vision is what is going to birth it into life.
Right.
And also, I think that in many ways, we see the progress towards it. And there's still so much pain, and there's still so much brutality towards all the amazing creatures of this planet, from the plants, to the animals, to the people.
Right.
And I can only trust that in some way, their soul is learning something, and their perfect connection to God is so unconditional that is just holding them through existence, meaning also once they've left this painful experience, and that we're walking into a new age. I really believe that, and I'm really committed to that.
Right. I am as well, and we have to go to another quick break. More with Sky here in a few moments.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hey everyone, meet my friends at the maca team. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I just found out on the break that Taya Sky's book, A Ceremony Called Life, When Your Morning Coffee is as Sacred as Holy Water, what we've been talking about, just coming out today. So the book is born, and it's a beautiful book. So I feel really fortunate because I got an advanced copy. And it's just insightful, it's inspiring, and I'm so grateful that you're sharing this with the world, Sky. So can you share with our listeners how they can find out more about you, how they can find out about your events, and how they can sort of click an easy link and find their way to your book?
Yes, all in the same place, and that's at TayaSky.com. And Taya can be a little tricky to spell, so let me do it for you. It's TEHYASKY.com. And over there is the book and all sorts of information about events that are coming up and lots of good stuff. And of course on Facebook at Taya Sky. I do lots of sharing over there.
Right. So it's TEHYA and then Sky, SKY.
Yes. Two different names.
And you Facebook. Go by Sky.
I do.
Which I love.
It's my birth name, actually.
Oh, I love that. Oh, gosh. So, you know, we're talking about how to make every moment in our lives kind of like sacred, sort of like the ceremonial, you know, spiritual ceremonies that we do, but sort of bringing that to our everyday life. Do you have any more suggestions for us about how to go about doing that?
Yes. The first thing, though, that I'll say is that it's really an individual exploration of what works for us in terms of bringing us back to the moment and reorienting. Mm-hmm. If you're the sort of person that's really busy and is new to calling yourself back into the moment, into presence, then a little trick you could do is set an alarm on your phone for every 30 minutes or every hour or whatever you like. And then each time that thing dings, you just check to see where you're focusing. Where's your energy? Is it in your head? Is it in the past? Is it stewing over some issue? Or are you just simply there now with whatever's happening?
I love this. Using modern technology to help us become more present.
Use your iPhone. Well, that's, you know, that's just one way that can help people who are especially busy and are a bit more new. Other things we can do, I really love pulling my energy into my feet and just feeling my feet and just also honoring that the way I walk is the way of my life, that somehow my feet are like offering a prayer to the earth as I go about my life. And so being really present with the way we walk and what we're feeling as we're walking is a nice way to bring that sacredness, or really rediscover that sacredness in day-to-day moments.
Right.
And then one of my personal favorites, and I actually just sort of stumbled into this meditation about a month ago, is in a particular invitation to accept everything. And what I mean exactly by that is when you're opening the cupboard to get a mug, feel acceptance of opening the cupboard. Feel acceptance taking the mug off the shelf. As you're going to turn the fire on the stove, feel acceptance of that, of turning the stove on.
Right.
We're so used to accepting much more big things that we're feeling, or trying to at least. But when we start with just these beautiful minutiae of day-to-day life, it just, it brings about its presence, the presence of acceptance within us.
Yeah.
In the other moments as well. And also, it's just, it's really beautiful because we don't think, oh, I should, let me accept opening the cupboard. I mean, uh-huh. It sounds ridiculous in that sort of energy, no? To just think of it like that. But when we actually do it, when we just sense this feeling of acceptance of these small moments, there's something really beautiful about it.
Right. And I did exactly that as you, you know, suggest in your book this morning. When I just started to do a stretch, sort of like a modified yoga stretch, where I was putting my arms forward and leaning onto a counter and sort of leaning and downward and feeling the stretch. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm sore. You know, and instead of thinking, oh, I need to work this out or why am I sore or this it doesn't feel good. It was just this moment of, ah, oh, there, I'm alive. And you know, what is this? And it sort of shifted this one moment by shifting my perception.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, if I could even elaborate a little bit more on the ways that we can bring this ceremony and discover it in everyday life, it's this, it's shifting our perspective. Because as human beings, we are inherently creative. We are just totally creative creatures who are constantly forming the lives of our thoughts, uh-huh. our intentions, our prayers, what we're focusing upon, and on it goes.
Right.
And so what that means is that we have a choice. We have a choice about what we're creating. We can either create the fictions of our minds uh-huh. and the conditioning of the past, or we can create what's naturally coming through our hearts, what feels right, what sometimes presenting itself to us is already being destined, like we talked about during a break.
Uh-huh.
This feeling that Christine, if I could just share that for a moment.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, this feeling that Christine had, for example, when she realized that she was meant to do this radio show. It wasn't even a choice. She
right.
just felt like, oh, this is what I'm doing.
Yes.
And that as we work with these day-to-day moments that come up in life, we have the opportunity to keep creating as we really mean to and shift our perspective simply because it serves us and because it's more truthful.
Yeah. And that truth is everything in terms of how we feel about ourselves, isn't it?
Tell me a little bit more what you mean.
Well, I mean, I think we often lie to ourselves, and it's not conscious, but when we begin to see the truth of things and speak the truth to ourselves, it creates this sort of greater ease. It can be painful at times, but it also opens the door for that flow of energy, that flow of God, that flow of our spiritual nature.
Yes, yes. You know, there's actually, I wrote down like a month ago, the most important truth we tell is the truth we tell ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That gives me chills. That gives me chills. Yeah. You should
right?
write that on your website. I don't know that I saw that on your website, but it's that seems like such an important part of our spiritual journey.
Yes. Yes, because it's, for as long as we're lying to ourselves, we're not creating as we really want to.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
When we're finally telling ourselves the truth about everything from, you know what, I feel this way, I'm vulnerable, so I feel this way, and
uh-huh.
what is it telling me about myself?
Uh-huh.
Or how can I just simply accept how I feel? Or whatever it is, what is it telling me about my life? Or how I'm spending my time? Or whatever, all of the huge field of things that it could be telling us, right?
Yeah, and like what, you know, what illusions have we been buying into? That
yes.
that truth telling can be so illuminating and so transformational.
Exactly.
And you know, this hour has just flown by, Sky, and I've loved the conversation. I absolutely adore your book. I just want to tell people again, it's called A Ceremony Called Life, When Your Morning Coffee Is as Sacred as Holy Water, and it's. Her website is thyasky.com. Sky, thank you so much for joining us here today. And thank you for sharing your youthful but ancient wisdom with the world.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's been wonderful.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.